Tonight, as we come to worship God, spirit and in truth, and I want to say on the onset that this morning when I was preaching, I quoted a verse that was not correct, and I apologize for that. I quoted 2 Kings 17, verse 5, dealing with Naaman, and it's 2 Kings chapter 5, and I know some may be saying, well, that's all right. Well, no. As God's man, it's not all right. And I just wanted to kind of put that out there. I was pondering my message between services, and I recognized that point, and I just asked that y'all forgive me for that. So I pray that y'all do that. I bet y'all wondering, what does it mean by the tent? Anybody wondering that? No? I don't know about Keith over there, Brother Darwin. I don't know about him over there. When you think of the Palestinians were a different type of people than, well, those of us in the Western world. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he told them to dwell in tents. He told them that their habitation would be that of a tent. And when we stop and we think about this from a cultural perspective, they're not like us. You know, when we have a house built or when we move into a house, well, there are some things that are of necessity for us. Central air and heat, running water, a restroom. Those things are essential for us when we are looking for a house. What type of neighborhood is it in? Is it safe? Can I rear up a family in this neighborhood? Those things are essential for those of us in the Western world, the United States of America. But when you stop and you think about those in the Eastern world, especially during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the time of the wilderness wandering, that was a different time. When you stop and you think about the tents of that particular time, this was where they lived, their habitation, their home, their abode. And when you stop and you think about them from another perspective, they didn't spend a lot of time in their tents like we spend in structures today, in our homes today. They spent most of their time outside. They spent most of their time in the fields, doing work. This is why they were probably more likely to be in shape than those of us who live in the Americas. However, that's not a point in which I really want to delve into right now, but when we stop and we think about those particular things, they spent a lot of time in their tents. Oh, well, they didn't spend a lot of time in their tents. However, their tents was their habitation, their abode. When you stop and you notice some things, especially when you go back a little bit further, like in the days of Noah, after the ark had rested on Mount Ararat, we notice that Noah, being a husbandman, having a vineyard, in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 21, the Bible tells us that it was at this time that he got drunk. And I want to say from the onset, when we stop and we think about the attitude and the character of Noah, he was one that found grace in the eyes of God, Genesis chapter 6. I really don't believe that he purposely got drunk. And I just wanted to kind of throw that out there because some try to impugn the character of Noah because of this situation that took place in Genesis 9 in verse number 21, where the Bible tells us that he was in his tent and he was uncovered and drunk. And in verse number 22, his son walks in there and he sees him uncovered. Well, we notice at this particular time that tents were being used as well. Well, remember in Genesis chapter 13, it was Abraham and Lot. And the Bible tells us that their herdsmen had a lot of strife between them. And you remember the wisdom of Abraham. Abraham told Lot, that we be brethren. You pick what side that you want to pick. Remember, he said, if I go to the right, you go to the left. If I go to the left, you go to the right. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 20 that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, keep in mind the tent, his home, his habitation, that place where he spent time, that place where he should have felt safe. And the Bible tells us that he pitched it toward or as far as Sodom. Well, we know about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were a very immoral people. They were a people that did not have their eyes set upon God. Now, if we keep in mind, why would Lot want to choose a land near a place that didn't have their eyes upon God? I want to just kind of give that to y'all and let you think about that for a minute. In Numbers chapter 3, as we continue our trek through the Bible, in verses 23 through 29, we notice that the tabernacle, the tent, this location where God dwelled among his people. The Bible tells us that there were four groups of people that were situated around the tabernacle. Now, keep in mind, the tabernacle was very important to the children of Israel. The tabernacle represented the holiness of God. It represented him being in the midst of his people. When we stop and we notice who was around the tabernacle, well, in Numbers chapter 3, verses 23 through 28, we notice on the west side of the tabernacle were the Gershonites. On the south side of the tabernacle were the Kohathites, verses 29 through 34. On the north side of the tabernacle, verses 35 through 37, we notice the son of Abihail. And then on the east side, which was the door of the tabernacle, was Moses, Aaron, and his sons. Brethren, when we notice what is going on here, here we have the God of heaven as he is in the midst of his people dwelling in a tent. We can't help but to think about the presence of God and how God wanted to be right in the middle of his people. And his people, knowing that he was right in the middle of them, should have had their lives in a way that knowing that he is watching their every move and wanting to have a relationship with them, we notice that God himself wanted to have a place where they can offer sacrifices for their sins, that they can offer up thanksgiving offerings to him being their God. When we stop and we really notice this tent, this habitation where God dwelled metaphorically, where God was in the midst of his people, he wanted them to know that the tent where I dwell is my strength. The Bible tells us in Psalm 78 at verse number 55 through verse number 61, that every now and then when the children of God would not live right, he would have to remove his strength from them. Now, I want us to notice something just real swiftly, that as children of God today, we live in a tent. We live in this body. Now, I wanted to just give you that seed as we go back to the Old Testament, because that's going to be important here in a minute. And keep in mind the midst, the middle, the center of attention. You remember in Joshua chapter 7, here the children of Israel were about to conquer the city of Ai. And they didn't need a lot of men in order to conquer this small nation. But the Bible tells us that they were conquered by this city of Ai. As a matter of fact, 36 men lost their lives that day because there was one who took of the accursed thing. His name was Achan. And when Achan took of the accursed thing, the Bible tells us that when Joshua lined up all of the people, he came to Achan and he said, "Give God the glory. Tell us what you have done. And it was at that particular time that Achan told Joshua that I took of the accursed thing, and it is in the midst of my tent, even as we speak, Joshua 7 and verse number 21. Now notice the contrast. We notice in Numbers chapter 3 that God was in the midst of his people. We notice in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 21 that Achan took of the accursed thing and he put it in the midst of his tent. Now keep in mind that the tent represented a home of habitation, a home of safety, a home of serenity, a home of peace. And it was at this time that Achan took of the accursed thing and he set it in the midst of his tent, underneath the tent, in the earth. Now, we all know the story of Achan and how he brought this trouble to Israel and how God told Joshua to kill Achan and everything associated with Achan. Even the tent was to be burnt. Isn't it sad that sin doesn't only affect us, but it affects those who are around us? Well, if you have your Bibles, I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1 through verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1 through verse number 7. And keep in mind, when we think about this tent, this habitation, this home, brethren, we can't help but to think of a place where we live. Notice what the Bible says as the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Notice what the Bible continues to say. "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but farther clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Notice the Apostle Paul as he is encouraging the children of God at Corinth. Here he gives him this idea, this picture of our earthly home, our earthly tabernacle, this tent in which we are living in today, our bodies. And notice how he says that we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice the contrast we have here of the physical and the spiritual. That which will decay one as we are living and that which is being renewed day by day. Brethren, we live in a tent today, and it is important to know what we need to do in our tents, in this body. And we have a body waiting for us. A body eternal in the heavens, a body not made with hands. As a matter of fact, when you turn to 1 John chapter 3, I want to show you something else. Because we have a body, and we don't know what type of body it's going to be, but we know that if we remain faithful to God, it's going to look just like the one that our Lord has. In 1 John 3 and verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." But brethren, notice the encouragement here. Notice that we don't know what Jesus looks like. We don't know the body that he has, But we know that we will find out what type of body he has if we do our part. Look at verse number 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We don't know what we're going to look like on that day. We don't know what type of tent we're going to have, but we know that if we live faithful, even to the point of death, God is going to give us a body just like our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I want to give you another passage to ponder. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 12. Here, Peter understood that he was in a tent. He was in a tabernacle. He was in a body, a fleshly body. Notice what the Bible says. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying that one day I'm going to die. One day I'm going to put this body off. One day I'm going to be with my Lord, and I'm going to be changed, like the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. This body is no longer going to be a problem for me. And I don't know about you, but I'm about to turn 39, and brother darn, things are starting to hurt now. Things are starting to hurt. My knuckles are starting to hurt. And I called my wife last night. I don't know what's wrong with my hands. And we groan for that new body, that new tent. We groan for that tent that is eternal in the heavens. Brethren, heaven is our goal. That's where we're trying to get. I know your body hurts sometimes. I know arthritis wrecks your body. I know that sometimes your eyesight gets fuzzy, but if you just hold on and continue to do the will of God, you're going to have a new body one day. Oh, that's the body that I'm looking for. Every now and then I wake up and things just don't move like it should. But if I just hold on, oh, I'll get there one day. Well, when we stop and we think about, what shall I do while I'm in this body? What shall I do while I'm in this tent? While I'm in this tabernacle? Number one, I need to glorify God in this tent. Is my mic on? It's on now? I know I'm on. It says on. I better go back up because I want y'all to get this. Brother Darwin, they're stealing my thunder. I want it to come down. It's fine. But there are some things we ought to do in our bodies, in our tents. Number one, we want to glorify God by being holy. What do you mean, Brother Bonner? I want to make sure that I do those things that God is pleased with. I want to make sure that whatever's in the midst of my life, God is pleased with, and that he is the orchestrator of it. You remember we brought up Numbers chapter 3 and how the children of God were surrounded. Well, they were surrounding the tabernacle, and God was in the midst of them. And notice, anytime you have God in the midst of your life, things are going to go well for you. Even when the odds are against you, if God be for us, who can be against us? And living in this tent, living in this tabernacle, sometimes gets hard. Sometimes it's stressful. Sometimes it's burdensome. Sometimes we have to take this tent to the doctor. But brethren, if we would just hold on. I'll try to be practical tonight. I like to talk to the family on Sunday evenings. Because sometimes this tabernacle, this tent don't act right. Sometimes this tent just doesn't do what we want it to do. It doesn't do what we used to do. But we have to just hold on. Now, I want us to bring up a point. Because when you stop and you think about aching. And you notice in Joshua 7 and verse 21, he said that he hid it in the midst of his tent. Brethren, what's in the midst of our tents? You know, Now, as the older generation, there are some things you just can't do now because you're older. Amen. But those of us who are a little bit younger, we struggle with some things every now and then. We struggle with sin, and the Bible tells us, even in the midst of struggling with sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we can have that way of escape that God is going to provide. But this tent, this wrestling with the flesh and the spirit, like the Apostle Paul did in Romans chapter 7, this wrestling with the flesh and the spirit, like the Apostle Paul speaks about in Galatians chapter 5. Brethren, it gets hard down here sometimes, but we got to keep our tent under subjection. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 21, the Apostle Paul understood that he had to bring his body under subjection. The Apostle Paul understood in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that he had to bring his mind under subjection to the obedience of Christ. This tent gives us problems every now and then. But how can we remedy it? How can we fix it? Brethren, we fix it by staying with the Word of God. We talked about it this morning in Psalm 119 in verse number 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Where is your heart? Your heart is in your tent. Your heart is in your body. It's your mind. And when you allow the mind of God to saturate your mind, even though this body is decaying, that inward man is being renewed day by day, and you can allow the Word of God to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, that which guides and strengthens your life. This tent can be all right if we just hold fast to the Word of God. This tent, I tell you, gives me trouble sometimes. I don't know about you, but it gives me troubles. Maybe I'm the only one living the Christian life. Does it give you trouble every now and then? Do you war with the flesh? The Apostle Paul tells us how to deal with those things in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through verse number 17. Brethren, we have to make sure that we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan is not on our side. Satan doesn't like us. Satan doesn't love us. We have to recognize that he's the enemy and he's not our friend. You know, one thing I'm noticing with the world, and it's filtering its way into the church, they're playing with Satan. One thing I know about Satan, he takes no enemies. He takes no prisoners, rather. Satan is not our friend. Why do Christians fraternize with sin? Why do we play with sin? I was talking to my wife earlier, and she was talking about the lesson that was being preached this morning. She brought up a good point that Brother Murphy, one of my elders, brought. He said, you know, as Christians, shouldn't we stay as far away from sin as possible? Why do we try to get as close to sin without falling? Brethren, if you fraternize with sin, it'll get close enough to drag you in. And that's why we have to be careful on what's going on with our tents and what we're living, how we're living, rather, in our tents. This body God has given to us, here it is, to glorify him, to bring it under subjection, to keep it pure, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 and following. God wants us to keep our vessels pure. Why, God? Because I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, notice what the Bible says there. Go ahead and turn there. Y'all looking at me like I'm the Bible. I'm not the Bible. Let's turn there. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, here it is, your bodies, your tent, your tabernacle as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our bodies need to be used to glorify God. As a matter of fact, this body is so important that God wants us to exercise every now and then. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, bodily exercise profited little, but godliness profited unto all. When we stop and we think about this body, we need this body. We need this body to preach the gospel, Brother Darwin. You need to stay healthy so you can preach. We don't have enough preachers in the world today, so we need you to stay healthy. Amen. I know that's right. Not just to tell you funny jokes. I bet your daughter looking at me funny. Well, brethren, seriously, this tent that we're living in, God wants to use it, but he can only use it if we're taking care of it and that we're not defiling it like was happening in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We don't want to defile our temple. We don't want to defile our tabernacle. We don't want to defile the tent in which we live in. But we want to make sure that we keep our hearts and our minds right so God can use our bodies to his glory and to his honor so we can be holy. What else does God want to use our tents for? He wants to use our tents so we can hurry up and get the gospel out, to evangelize, for benevolence, to edify one another. Go to Ephesians 4. I want you to turn to verse number 26. God wants us to make sure that we use our tents in the right manner. Use your bodies to do that which is right. In Ephesians 4, starting at verse number 26, be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary, here it is, building up, edification. Oh, if the church needs one thing right now, we need to be built up. We need to know that we're doing that which is right. We need to know that what we're doing according to the word of God, God is pleased, and he's going to give us something one day. He's going to give us a new tent, a new body. Don't worry about that baby. She's okay. That baby's all right. We're family. So once, you know, when I leave home and I go somewhere else, we're still family. I just never met y'all before. But we're still family. But brethren, when we stop and we think about that new tent, we got to build up one another. I got to build my brother up. Say, hold on, hang in there. You got something waiting for you. It's called eternal life. It's called a new tent. Notice what he goes on to say. That it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Let's stop there real quick. I'm almost done. I know y'all need to go watch the game. I know. Redskins gonna win tonight anyway. But brethren, while we're living in this tent, let's put away some things. It's one thing to deal with a body that's giving you problems. But that tent that is on the inside of the tent need to put away things that's going to harm the outer body. We have that old man and that new man. We have that inner man and the outer man. And sometimes that inner man, when that inner man doesn't deal with problems correctly, it brings forth bitterness. Have you ever met someone who's been bitter or who is bitter? It affects their whole mentality. It affects their body. They're stressed out. They don't trust people. And really, they don't even trust the Lord, because the Bible, the Lord wants us to put away bitterness. So if a person doesn't have enough faith to put away what God has told them to put away, you know they're not going to trust you either. And it brings harm to you. But he says, put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Clamor is speaking loudly when you're angry. Oh, I know some of us have to work on that. I don't know anyone here, but I know every now and then some of us get angry and we're yelling at people, but we ought to bring it down and bring ourselves under control. Oh, this tent, sometimes it gets tough in this tent. We want to do right, but evil is always present. But how do we fix it? Notice verse 32. By being kind to one another. Oh, that's tough. Brother Bonner, you don't know my wife. You don't know my husband, Brother Bonner. You don't know him. You're just a guest preacher. Oh, yeah, I know this is right. Well, you don't know my children. You don't know my parents. It's hard to be nice to them. The Bible is right. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Be tenderhearted. Notice what he goes on to say. Forgiving one another. Oh, that's tough. But we ought to do it right. Shouldn't we forgive one another? Isn't it to your best interest to forgive those who trespass against you? Especially when you go to God and you ask him for forgiveness. But if you haven't forgiven your brother, Matthew chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, 23 and 24 rather, God is not going to forgive you. Don't we want God to forgive us? Well, we have to forgive one another. We have to forgive our husband, our wives, our children, our parents. We have to forgive them. But sometimes our pride doesn't want us to forgive them. This tent, like, no, because if I do that, that means they think they're going to have the upper hand on me, and I can't have that. You know, Christians really think like that. Oh, this tent gives us problems. But that inner man that is feeding on the Word of God, that man that is looking for that body, that tent that is made not with hands, eternal in the heavens, looks past the things that are down here, and they do what God would have them to do. But notice what he goes on to say, even as God in Christ Jesus Christ forgave you. Brethren, we have to build up one another. And I know sometimes it gets tough in this tent. But if we keep in mind that God is in the midst of our lives when we do his will, it'll be okay. We're going to make it. Who's in the midst of your tent? I close with this. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. Now notice what he says there. He says, Christ lives in me. His influence, his word that guides and directs my life lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he's cutting me off. I live by the glory of the Father who loved me and gave himself for me. Brethren, if Christ is not living within you, if his word is not dwelling in you, if he's not guiding you through the scriptures, that means you're living by yourself. Oh, we don't want to live by ourselves. By default, if Christ is not living in you, then Satan is. Who are you living with? Are you living with the sovereign one in your tent? Or are you sleeping with the enemy? We don't want to live with the enemy. We want to be with the Savior. The tent in which we dwell in is not like that of the Palestinians. It's not a home with air conditioning and heat and plumbing, but it's this fleshly body that we have to put up with every now and then. It doesn't cooperate. But we have an inner man within us that is being renewed day by day if we would just hold fast to God's instructions. Do you want to live throughout eternity with your God? Well, you have to start now. You got to live with God now. And the only way you can do that is by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heaven should be your goal. You ought to have that desire to live with God throughout eternity. The way you do that is by obeying the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ as found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. You do that by believing, by repenting, by confessing, by being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, living faithful even to the point of death, living faithful in this tent, and God is going to give you a new body. He's going to change this. If you're not dead already, then we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm looking for that new body. Like I said, things are starting to hurt now, and I really want to get out of it. But it's going to be a new body one day, brethren, a new tent that will never hurt, that will never have pain, no more sorrow, no more dying, no more crying. It's going to be a tent that is going to be able to worship God throughout eternity. Aren't you longing for that tent, that dwelling place? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you. Let's believe that. If you're a child of God and you need to repent, you need to confess fault, let's do that as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.